Hallelujah. Well, turn in your Bibles, my brothers and sisters, to Luke chapter 4. We're going to talk about faith tonight. One of my favorite subjects. Look at it from a little different perspective. Faith is really, to be honest with you, kind of a rare thing. And hold your place in Luke 4. I'm already going somewhere else. It's not very far over. Go over to Luke 18, then we'll come back to Luke 4. So we may be back and forth in those two chapters for a little bit. Now, Jesus was teaching here in Luke 18, and he says, "He spake a parable unto them to this end." Now, in other words, the end result of the parable is this, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. That word faint is not so much pass out, that it really means to, I think the Amplified says, turn coward and give up. Lose heart, turn coward, give up. And this comes right along really with becoming weary in well doing. It has to do with this morning's message, you know, that, hey, when you've done all to stand, stand. And you may really be doing a pretty good job, but after 5 years, I don't want to, you know, to think that it always takes that long, but sometimes, you know, Joseph, from the time that he received that vision from God until the time that it really happened was 22 years. That's a little standing, you know, that's a little time involved, okay? Now, what he's talking about here, he's talking about faith, because now look at the way he ends this in verse 8, and we'll get to the in-between part. The very last sentence, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" So he's talking about the kind of prayer that doesn't quit, and he's talking about the kind of prayer that exhibits real faith. Okay? Well, hold your place there. We're going to come back to that. Now back up here to Luke chapter 4 for a minute. And this is the incident where he went after... It's shortly after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, shortly after his encounter out in the wilderness with the devil where he was tempted, but yet he overcame. And he came to his hometown of Nazareth, one of the first places that he went to preach. And as you know, let's see, I guess we'll pick it up here in verse 16. Let's get the whole thing. So Luke 4:16 says, "He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up." This is his hometown. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." In other words, he turned to this passage on purpose. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Don't you love that passage? They did too. They loved that passage. I have no doubt. Boy, that's a good one. You picked a good one. But he's about to say something about that passage that nobody else had ever said about that passage. "He closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say with them." In other words, he said more than this. We're getting the summary here. "He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." In other words, Isaiah was prophesying. "I am the one he was prophesying about." In other words, I'm not just reading this as you've heard it your whole lives out of the prophet Isaiah. I am the manifestation of this verse. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I am here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I'm the one Isaiah was prophesying about, and this is his hometown. It would be like me going back to Shawnee, Oklahoma, where all of my relatives live, all, you know, on my dad's side. Going back there and standing up and making some big pronouncement about who I am, and they'd be going, is this not O.R. Carpenter's son? So here, he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But they said, but now wait, I mean, these are gracious words, but is not this Joseph's son? Didn't he grow up here? Didn't we watch this boy grow up playing in the streets here in Nazareth? You know? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard that you did in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon. This is outside the nation of Israel. That widow in Sidon had no covenant with God. Unto a woman that was a widow. And then the more astounding one is this one, verse 27. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. Now, we read things, they become too familiar with us. We hear them so many times. One day I was meditating this like we're supposed to do, just assimilating, praying in other tongues, just like we're supposed to do. I wasn't going through any commentaries. And the Holy Spirit somehow got it across to me. See, when Jesus said, one of them asked, show us the Father, Philip. He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you do not know who I am? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, what did Philip and all of them see regarding Jesus and lepers? What happened with the lepers? What he's saying there, when it says the Word was made flesh, to Israel that meant the prophets told you, and Moses told you, and all down through when God would speak, he would tell you he was a healer. There are instructions for those who had leprosy. There was a covenant of healing the whole time with Israel. But in all those centuries, one day the Holy Spirit got it across to me, not one had the faith to be healed. That's why they got so mad at him. That's what he told them when he said that. He's going, I'm here to manifest what's been available to you the whole time. The prophets told you he's a healer. I've come to show you he's a healer. But here I am in my hometown, come to deliver God's good news to you, and you're rejecting me the same way you rejected his word through the prophets. And I'm going, how rare is faith? When it dawned on me, how many lepers lived and died during those centuries of the Old Testament that had the covenant of healing, could have been healed exactly like the ones in the New Testament under Jesus? Jesus was really, until the cross, ministering under the Old Covenant. He was if you'll allow me, it was more than this, but at least this, he was the Old Covenant made flesh. You've heard it, and I've come to show you. And they're going, well, lepers got healed. And he's going, you could have got healed this whole time, but you did not believe his word. How rare is faith? Well, I'm thinking, now let me get this straight. All those centuries, every leper that lived and died in Israel could have walked healed if they would have had faith. Now you see why we're going to Luke 18 in a minute? See, we've got to find out what faith really is. Well, we could talk about the widow, same thing. It's the same principle. You know why God couldn't send Elijah to the widows in Israel? Not any of them. They would not have received him. If anything, they were holding him responsible. He was the problem. That's why they were suffering like they were. So God had to find somewhere that would receive him. And it was somebody who didn't even have a covenant with God. How rare is faith? How rare is it, see? Let's go to Luke 18 now. Got a good introduction, or isn't that something? I don't know. One day I finally got it. I said, you mean not one leper got healed under the old covenant? Only Naaman, that's what he said. And he wasn't even a covenant man. He got in on the covenant through faith. It's like the woman that had the devil-possessed daughter. The Syrophoenician woman, wasn't she Syrophoenician? She didn't have any covenant. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In other words, I know God is bigger than this covenant. God's big enough for me to get what I need for my daughter. And he says, whoa, woman, great is thy faith. And she got what she came for. Here we come again. Somebody who outside the covenant people had more faith than most covenant people. Smith Wigglesworth said, there's something about faith that will cause God, if he has to go over 1 million people to answer the prayer of faith. There's something about real faith that moves God. Well, I want to have real faith, don't you? So he says, when the Son of Man returns, am I going to find faith on the earth? And I can't help it when I read it. I go, yes! Yes, you're going to find real faith. Let's find out what it is. So Luke 18 again, let's go over there. So he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not turn coward, give up. What were some of those other things? Turn away. Lose heart. Yeah, lose. And it's easy when you've been standing a long time. And I'll tell you another thing. Now, whether you're standing for yourself or you're standing for somebody else, especially if pain's involved and it's chronic pain, and that pain preaches to you every minute of every hour, you're going to find out here, this unjust judge is not God. There's an unjust judge in you that's really your soul. It's your own intellect. It's the part of you that receives evidence. Now see, a just judge will only receive true evidence. It has to be valid evidence. But an unjust judge will receive evidence from any source. All right, so anyway, I'm teaching without reading the parable. Let's read the parable. So he's teaching about faith and how you shouldn't quit. You shouldn't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, now get this, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. I like to shorten that to weary. She wearied him out. She's wearing him out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them, how soon? Speedily. It's not really God dragging this thing out. There's something else causing it to drag out. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now again, this is about prayer. This is about standing. This is about not giving up. See, the way I was taught this in Sunday school, I said, well, God is the unjust judge. And so you just got to keep coming and keep coming. And they'd draw these parables they'd draw these pictures in your mind of storming the gates of heaven. Who's ever heard that? With intercession. I'm going to storm the gates of heaven, like God's going, no, I will not answer your prayer. I don't care how much you pray. No, thicken the walls. Fire arrows down. No, we will not answer. No answered prayer here. Like that's the picture of God, you know. And you got to tear down the gates. Well, and it's become, you know, because of teaching from this and others. He didn't say God was the unjust judge. He was saying, look, this unjust judge, he receives evidence. One day it dawned on me. See, how many of you think God already believes His Word? That was a great day when that revelation hit me, that God already believes His Word. And He's watching over His Word to do what? To perform it. So He's not up there. I don't care how many preachers say otherwise. He's not up there barricading the doors trying to keep you from getting your prayer answered. He's really searching, looking for someone who will believe this so He can manifest His Word. So what is this unjust judge deal? One day as I was going through here, I was going, now, an unjust judge. See, each one of us, on the inside of us, you got a judge. I've been teaching more on facts compared with truth here lately. One of the most popular messages that I ever taught was called The Unjust Judge. The other one that goes with it is Truth Changes Fact. Okay? See, your soul receives evidence from any source. That's what makes it unjust. It doesn't really know truth. It doesn't know what's true. It'll receive pain, for example. Let's just take pain for one example. Man, I have been there. When I was going through those couple of years with all that, I mean, there was no waking moment when I wasn't in pain. I mean, it preaches every minute of every hour. What's that doing? It is presenting evidence to my brain, my soul, my unjust judge, saying, we are hurting, we're getting worse, and projection is we're going to wind up in a wheelchair. And it's preaching to me constantly that pain. It's like evidence being presented, and my soul receives it as being truth. Now, it is fact. See, we don't deny facts. But what does the Word of God say about anything like that? By His stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sickness and carried my pains. How about, He is the Lord my God. He blesses my bread and blesses my water. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. We could go on and on with more of those. But that's truth. Pain is a fact. Now the thing of it is, what happens with nearly all Christians, myself included, we tend to just go with the natural flow. See, pain is going to preach. You don't have to... How many of you have gone through a confession? I'm going to let my pain confess to my soul for an hour. It does it automatically. It does it automatically. It doesn't ask permission, does it? It's preaching to your soul the whole time. And this unjust judge goes, you're sick. Well, how do you know you're sick? Well, because the only evidence I have is that pain. And that pain lets me know that you're sick. I render a verdict. Gavel, boom. You're sick. How do you know you're sick? Well, I told you, the evidence that's been presented. Well, what about the other evidence? And most Christians, the soul would go, what evidence? You haven't presented any evidence. See, this widow, she kept coming. She kept coming. Avenge me of my... There's an adversary trying to destroy me. I want... Avenge me of my adversary. I want justice here. She kept coming and she kept coming. Well, if we're not supposed to be going back and back to God, like trying to convince Him to do His own word, it dawned on me one day, that is my own soul. I told a friend of mine recently who's going through something, I said, that pain is preaching to you all the time. You better preach back. You better preach to your own soul. This has again to do with speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, see? Say, I've been through this in more than one time. Now, right now, I'm talking about pain. Well, what do you do in a case like that? Well, when Sue finally got my attention that day that if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. What did I have to do? Was God's Word true the whole time? Whether I spoke it or whether I didn't speak it? What did I have to do? I had the evidence. I had to start presenting the evidence. I had to start saying it out loud. I had to start presenting that to the unjust judge. That's how you present that evidence. I had to wear my soul out. Now, if you can picture your own soul sitting up here on the, you know, however judges sit, and it's got these robes and everything. Well, it's been getting evidence from the pain, and it's still getting evidence from the pain all the time. And it's going, boy, there's a lot of evidence here. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure you're sick. You know, I'm about to let the gavel come. And then all of a sudden, you change, and you start quoting Scripture. See, I've got some evidence to present over here. Well, what evidence do you have? And you start, by His stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sickness and carried my pains. Jesus has already borne this. There's no legal right for it to be on my body. I avenge me of my adversary. And he's going, evidence from another source. And what makes the unjust judge unjust, it gives equal weight to the pain as it does to the Word of God. That's why it says in there, doesn't regard God or man. It only goes by the preponderance, how about that for a word? By the preponderance of evidence. You're going to have to wear it out. You're going to have to wear it out. That's why he had me walk the floor and confess those prosperity scriptures 4 hours a day. I'm ashamed to tell you, it took months of doing that before my soul, it took months to wear my soul out. It was so programmed with a poverty mentality. I had to present evidence 4 hours a day for months before I finally got a different rendering from the unjust judge that resides between my ears. Now, God was looking to perform His Word the whole time. His Word was true. He heard me the first time I prayed. See, they used to tell me, you got to keep going back. You got to keep asking again and again. That's not treating God like He's real. You know, if Cole was to come and say, Papa, can I have an ice cream? Yeah, you can have it here in just a little bit. A minute later, Papa, can I have an ice cream? Yeah. Now, give me, pretty quick, yeah. Papa, can I have an ice cream? Papa, can I have an ice cream? Papa, can I have an ice cream? I go, what's wrong with you? You think I don't hear you? I heard you the first time. You'll get your ice cream in due season. Or whatever. You know? I wouldn't say it that way, but I'm just I'm trying to make a point here. You got to treat God like He's real. He heard you the first time. And in fact, He knew what you had need of. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell this. I'm always getting on Angie on the bad. You know, I'm always telling that thing about her. And we were strong in faith while the money was there. I got a text message. No, I don't still have it. But I got a text message from her this week. And she said, and see, she's been using my old hand-me-down Toshiba laptop. The first one that I ever had. The one that it's been to Korea back and forth. It's been all over the world. It's been trudged all around and bumped around in airplanes and my trunk of the car and everything. Now the thing, the hinge has broke. So, they rigged up a little, it looks like a TV antenna on the back, a metal thing, so that the top can rest on that, you know, and it keeps blowing this little fuse on the inside. She's been making it work, you know, and she said the other day, Tuesday of this week, she said, you know, I've been, in my heart, I've asked the Lord, I guess, you know, that I need a new laptop. That's been going on forever. I'm going to ask Him out loud with my mouth. So Tuesday, she just asked a simple prayer. Father, would you please give me a new laptop? I believe you hear me. Thank you for my laptop in Jesus' name. And Wednesday, somebody gave her one. Yes, Lord. Brand new, out of the box. I don't mean a hand-me-down. I mean a brand spanking new one that no one's ever used before. Yes. She texts me. So you know what I texted back? Someone should teach this. You have not because you ask not. Who knew? So he's all excited now. I said, you mean he answers prayer? I got a bunch of stuff to start praying here now. Isn't that great? Trouble is, see, you can have answers like that and see it work and testify about it, and 2 years down the road, why isn't anything happening? You have not because you ask not. We just doesn't tend to come natural. See? Isn't that great? Well, here it says, because this widow, this is the way your soul is, verse 5, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'm telling you right now, if I don't care. Now, we're mainly using sickness, pain, that type of thing. But see, it's the same. If you've got children that's messing up, that preaches to you all the time. as a parent, it's on your mind all the time. You can't get it. When one of my grandkids is sick, like Lily, there's no waking moment, no matter what's going on, where that's not on my mind, you know. And it's preaching to you. When are we ever going to learn that faith has two parts, not just one? It's not enough to believe with the heart alone. Faith believes with the heart and speaks with the mouth. Speaks with the mouth. Speaks with the mouth. And you're going to have to present more evidence. You're going to you're going to have to weary the unjust judge. And I like to take that W-E-A-R, weary, and just say wear it out. Wear your soul out to where it goes, all right, you're healed. I agree. See, because it's not God withholding any good thing from you. I heard somebody, one preacher years ago, he kind of drew the analogy of like, you know, we're the ones that's, if you could picture a hose coming from heaven, all the blessings of God, he's wanting to send all this through that. It's not a problem on heaven's end sending stuff through the hose. It's unbelief blocking the hose up. Or just not doing the plain things that Jesus says to do. Wear your soul out. Speak to it. Talk to it. I remember, yes sir, go ahead and, now we're talking on faith. You can't really teach on faith without going to Mark 11. Now can you? Go to Mark 11. Read the famous verse here. Starting in verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And, you know, the Lord told a famous preacher one time, he says, you're going to have to teach three times as much on speaking about as you do about believing in the heart. Notice here. See, most people think it works like this. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall think about the mountain, and they're thinking, I want it removed, and I want it cast into the sea. Now maybe they're not even doubting in their heart, but you know, believing that what they think will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he thinketh. It doesn't say that. Whosoever shall say. I want you to say it out loud with me. It has to come out of your own lips. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, not think, say unto the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Can you see that? Three times. Now, once it talks about believing in the heart, three times saith is in there. Three times. And it's hard to get people to do it. It's hard to get myself to do it. And I'll do it and have victories and come talk to you and we'll have great victories about that. And then if I'm not careful, just like that one thing I slipped into with my back thing, well, I just kind of eased in with my mouth, just agreeing with the devil, agreeing with the symptoms. If anything, now here's pain preaching. What's really bad? It's talking about the opposite of faith. Pain is preaching to my unjust judge all the time. And then I start adding my own words. Yeah, my back is killing me. There's a good testimony. You going to have what you say? No, I don't want to have what I say. Yeah, if this gets any worse, I'm going to wind up in a wheelchair. Thank God for His mercy. But now this same thing applies to finances. It applies to drug addiction. It applies to smoking addiction. It applies to... I remember when I had to take Romans 6. And I made it into a positive confession. This was back when I was still addicted to cigarettes. And if you're still addicted to cigarettes, God loves you. Better is a creep that prays and a creep that doesn't pray. You hang in there. You'll have your own testimony one of these days. But all I could do was preach. And I'd take that Romans 6 and I'd preach to my soul. And it seemed so puny, to be honest with you. It seemed so powerless. I'd almost hear laughing from my body going, yeah, bet me, you know. You're my slave and you're going to stay my slave. You're going to give me what I want. You know? Well, been free a long time now. I'd never thought the day would come that I'd actually go 24 hours and not crave one. And now, been through some pretty, it's been so many years now. Now I go into I've had some tests, I've had some trials, and never even thought of one during the whole thing. So no Xanax or cigarettes, either one. Hallelujah. But real faith. Now, we're headed towards concluding this. What scares me when I think about the centuries that passed with Israel under the Old Covenant, how many lepers lived and died, having a healing covenant with God. Yet not one, and that astounded me, not one got healed. We're living under a new covenant, established upon better promises. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. And I think again about Tommy Perez, just as one example. We could take many others. Jesus, if he was to be able to walk through the wall and walk into Tommy Perez has muscular dystrophy or cerebral palsy. I always get those two mixed up. You know, you've seen him in the wheelchairs, and his little legs are about as big as my wrist because he's never used them. You know, and I know, Jesus walked through the wall, somehow laid his hand on Tommy Perez. Tommy's getting out of that chair. Yet, all these churches all around the world all have the new covenant, established upon better promises, where Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Are we any different from the lepers in Israel? When Jesus returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? And he gave that in that context of wearing out the unjust judge. We're not supposed to be wearing out God. He's not the problem. It's the way we think. And I come right back to Ephesians. See, you think we're not teaching out of Ephesians? This is Ephesians 4. All of this happens, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The only thing that kept those lepers under the old covenant from receiving their healing was the way they thought. The healing covenant, God had already given it. It was theirs to be possessed. And the only reason they did not was the way they thought. We have been given a better covenant, established upon better promises. It should be the norm to take Tommy Perez or anyone like him to any church that bears the name of Jesus, and he be healed and get out of that chair. That should be the normal. If Jesus had if his church was functioning like he intended for it to function. So I'm going, how rare is faith? Pretty rare under the old covenant. Beginning to think it might be pretty rare under the new. But I thank God that he's linked us up with a man who heard from him and gave him this assignment to go far enough into God and gave him an understanding of some of the tools, praying in tongues and the things that we've learned here. So at least we have a shot. At least I'm not still sitting under pastors telling me it's not always his will to heal. Are you thankful for that? Do you know, for every service we have here, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of services at the same time around this country telling people it's just not always his will to heal. We're a voice crying in the wilderness, whether you know it or not. There's others. I know there's others, but the percentage is small, boy. Thank God. So, let me ask you the question. When the Son of Man returns, let me ask you, is he going to find faith on the earth? Yes. We can do better than that. When the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith on the earth?
Yes.
How is he going to see it? And what I'm really after is, you're going to have to start speaking and sending evidence to the unjust judge. Going to have to start doing it and not quit, not turn coward, and give up, and I'm just going, I'm weary in well doing. I'm tired of all this praying and fasting and seeking God. Well, we're not going to be like that. We're going to continue to pray and continue to be like that little widow woman and wear our soul out until we have vengeance upon our enemy. Are you with that? Hallelujah.